I've been teasing for a while that I was going to eventually tell what my new note-taking tool is and explain it. Well, my new note-taking tool is Rome Research, but this is not going to be the explanation of that. The reason this is not going to be explanation of that is because I'm still not ready to explain it. I don't think that I can explain it in a way that people will understand the power of the application and the usefulness of the application. A great example of this, if you guys are listeners of the Cortex podcast with CPG Gray and Mike Hurley, it's a tech-minded show where they talk about tools very similar to Rome. They talk about systems and building systems with applications and using them to get things done and the mindsets needed to get them done. And for the last two episodes, they have been trying to wrap their heads around Rome Research and doing a fairly middling job at it. It's not their fault. When a tool like Rome comes around, I can use a grandiose phrase like it's a new evolution in tools. And it is. But what I mean by that is it looks very similar in many ways to tools that we have seen before, but works in a very different and new, novel way. All the pieces, I'm sure, have been part of something else before. Backlinking and all of this stuff is not new. But within this package, it's really different. It's a different way of looking at something. Because I think what the guys on Cortex are doing is they're trying to wrap their heads around Rome as a note-taking tool. But Connor, the CEO, has specifically said this is not a note-taking tool. It's a tool for thought, which sounds like a tagline, but that's really what he's trying to do. He's trying to build a tool that facilitates thinking and making connections the way that the brain makes connections. It's a grand ideal. And because of that, you can't really understand Rome unless you have used it. Much the way that in the early days of Evernote, you know, these were the days before iCloud, the days before Google Drive, I think even the days before Apple Notes, when the idea of having a place to store notes that didn't care which device you were on, that was a revelation. It really was. Before that, there were files on your computer, and then you had this phone. If you wanted to get the files from your computer on the phone, you had to plug the wire in and transfer them. The cloud wasn't a thing. But as anybody who has lived through the last 20 to 30 years knows, that the cloud is almost as big as the idea of the internet itself. It has been that important in shifting the direction that we go. When I first got the beta access to Rome, I didn't get it either. I thought it was like, okay, how is this different than Workflowy and Dynalist? I don't see it. So I played around with it for a couple hours and then didn't go back to it for months until I saw people talking about it, which made me think, did I miss something? I must have missed something. So then I started using it. And only about a week into doing that, did I really begin to understand what it was trying to do and what it was capable of doing. So the guys on Cortex, they're never going to be able to explain Rome unless they use it. And that's the difficulty that I see with trying to explain this to people, is because how do I explain an experience? The other thing about Rome that makes me hesitant to discuss it, and which is kind of the topic of what I want to cover today, is that Rome is not complete. Features are being added daily. I mean, Connor seems like he's adding something almost every day, whether it is a slight tweak to the calculator or this new Delta feature that I don't even understand yet. And that's different than the way that we've seen applications handled before. I think much of the idea of the application version release comes from things like Windows. I don't know if you remember this, but Windows used to be released once a year and you had to pay for it. Your operating system, you had to pay to upgrade your operating system. And it wasn't like $30. It was hundreds of dollars. So they would save up all the features and release it as a package because they were trying to justify the price, right? It's not just one small tweak. Here are a bunch of things that's totally going to change the operating system. And for a while, Apple followed suit with that until they started giving OS X away for free. These things were released physically, right? These updates weren't coming through the air to us. We were buying disks and taking them home and adding them. So they had to be released like that. And when we moved past the need for that and we could do it over the internet, the model stuck around. But then the App Store, the iOS App Store came around. Bug fixes became a normal thing because something would come up. Well, you don't want to charge people to fix something that's broken. And you want to get that out as fast as possible because you want them to keep using your app. Well, along with that, people started releasing features like that here, there. And I started to see how antiquated the model of saving up for a release really was. And I started to wonder what it would look like if when you had a new feature, you just dropped it. Here's the new feature. And the subscription model within the App Store was supposed to bring that more to the front. And to some degree, it very much has. But never before have I used an application like Chrome where it is exactly like that. That the features come so fast that I can't even keep up with them. And because of that, I faced a problem. And the problem is that if you, especially if you are a member of the Rome Cult, which is the name for the fans, the avid fans of Rome Research. If you are a member of the Rome Cult and you follow Twitter and you follow the hashtag Rome Cult and you follow all the people talking about Rome because it's so early and so much of the UI and so much of it is still rough and raw, everybody's working out different systems of working with things. It's very exciting. But also because of that, you're seeing a lot of different paths that you can take. Oh, I could use attributes. Or I could, if it's a book, I can just put B and a colon in front of the note title to indicate that it's a book. Or I can use namespacing. So many options. And I know for a lot of you, those words didn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. I just want you to understand that there are options. A lot of options on how to build a system, to build your own system within Rome, because Rome is not an application that gives you a system and tells you, here's how everything works. There are certain things like the daily notes that's built in, but you don't have to use that. It is a set of tools that you can utilize to build a system. You don't have to use them all, but when you are in the Rome Cult and you're listening to all of this, you want to start using these things. Oh, that sounds like something really useful to me. In a way, it becomes like shiny object syndrome. Well, this doesn't really work now. This is something you'll hear a lot in the Rome Cult. It doesn't work now, but it will work in the future. So I'm using it now so that I'm prepared for the future. And there's a problem with that way of thinking, at least for me. The problem with that is it puts an instability into my system currently. Sounds like I'll be in a great position in the future, but what about now? See, one of the core precepts or principles of David Allen's Getting Things Done is to build a trusted system. And if you are building with an eye towards the future instead of the present, you can easily build a system that's not something you trust. What happens is you end up looking at the application not as it is, but a mixture of as it is and what it will be or what it could be or what it might be. And when you look at what something may become and try to build a system with that in mind, you sacrifice the present. You sacrifice the stability of the present. So what you have to do is you have to work with things as they are, not what they will be. It's an obstacle that I've been dealing with, that thinking so much about what this could be, what this feature could be used for later, has prevented me from doing things in the application now. And because of that, it's been something that has actually prevented me from working with the system as intimately as I want to. I've noticed that the more I've tried to implement these ideas of what will work in the future, I've made less and less notes. And if I can deal with it more in the idea of this is a tool set, not a tool, I think I can do something better. Because if I look at it as a tool, then I need to learn all of the features and I need to be ready to implement them all. But if I look at it as a tool set, I just take the tools that I need right now. If I'm hanging something on the wall, I'm going to take out the hammer and the level. I have a drill, but I don't need the drill right now. In the future, when I reach a situation where I need to use the drill, I have the drill in the tool set, but I don't need to be using the drill now. Lam and I recently had a conversation about Star Trek Voyager. We're both Star Trek fans. I'd never watched Voyager. I think I saw a couple episodes when it originally came out, but I never saw it all the way through. And we got into talking about characters. And I said, which character am I? And he thought about it for a while and he said, you're 7 of 9. The core of that character is someone who has come from, I guess you could call it a society that is built upon conformity and the idea of perfection. And until I started thinking about Rome and the problem that I was having with this moving target, I didn't really see myself in 7. But when I looked at my note-taking system and the way that I looked at my note-taking system and the way I have looked at it in the past, I saw it. I saw that desire for perfection. And some of you, if you're note-takers, avid note-takers like I am, maybe you know what I mean, is that we build our note-taking systems with the idea that we can build a perfect system. In fact, we get that way with things beyond note-taking system, with applications in general. Applications have the promise of perfection for some of us. I'm not this bad, but there are people out there who, when an application is updated, maybe some big feature that's really providing value for a large percentage of the user base comes out. But because of that, it changes one small thing in the application that like 6 people were using. Those people get pissed off. They get pissed off because the illusion of the perfection in the system they have built is shattered. I had this thing that worked and I didn't have to do anything anymore. I'd built it and now you've broken it. It's a very dangerous mindset and I have a tendency towards it. Not to that degree, like I said, but I have a tendency toward that idea of building something to perfection. And because of that, a tool like Rome, which is continually changing, can be an obstacle for me. Because the system has to be trusted, but it has to be trusted now. But also part of that implies that it has to have a flexibility built into it. That your system has to work as it is now, but understand that eventually it will have to change. Because everything changes. And your system can't be perfect, but it can be flexible and it can be useful. And if it is flexible and it is useful now, then it can be trusted. You have to look at the tool and say, what is my goal with this tool? What do I want from it right now? And then you have to ask yourself, can I achieve it? With what is here? Now, available, this moment, can I achieve that goal? And if you can, then that is all that matters. What I put into Rome, I put there because eventually I hope to find it. All the other things are wonderful, but at its core, the reason I put it there is to find it again. Does it do that job? Yes. And how can I use the tools that are now to make that as easy as possible? That is all that matters. We have to build for the present with an eye towards the future.